Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com. Live in my car, leaving Mackey Arena following Purdue's 90-72 win over USC in Mackey Arena, driving very slowly around the neighborhoods around the athletic complex here while the kids party. This is your GoldenBlack.com drive home post-game podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which, by the way, the other night, I'm coming back from Iowa, and I happened to take 500 to get back to my house for some reason. And not only did the Whitaker Inn not keep their herd of deer on their property, but they allowed them just down the road so that they tried to cross the road right before I drove by. So I'm not talking about one deer here. I'm talking about a whole collective, a whole Congress. I think I've got my animals confused. A Congress, I think, is eagles. I know a pod is whales. A herd of deer. We're about to cross the road all at once. So I had to stop my car. I had to put my flashers on to warn the cars behind me. And I had to wait until they thought better of it and turned around and went the other way. And then I had to beam every car coming the other way past me to warn them that there was impending danger. And now I'm about to drive past the Whitaker Inn again here in about 10 minutes. And I believe me, my head's going to be on a swivel because those large hooved mammals need to stay out of the road. Anyway, we've gone off in a weird direction here. These Friday night games, who's taking this seriously anyway? 90-72 Purdue over USC, who I'm sure had the time of its life spending the last three or four days between Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. Seriously, this is what these dudes signed up at USC to do, is to spend their time in the middle of Indiana in the winter. That would make a hell of a reality show. The game played out as I would have expected. Purdue beat them handily. It was an 18-point margin, but Purdue led by 26 late in the game. I thought that Purdue was going to win this game by 30 points in the first half, but USC managed to keep it to 12 at halftime somehow. I think a couple of loose balls go Purdue's way there late in the first half, and I think it might have been that sort of game. It was just one of those things where Purdue just never was able to push it way out until the very last few minutes of the game. And then when the cleanup crew came in, USC cut it down a little bit more. Ended up losing by 18. But this was a game, of course, Purdue had to win. You can't lose any more home games here, especially to somebody you should beat. And, USC won at Illinois. USC beat Michigan State in L.A., much to Purdue's delight, because Purdue is now tied for the Big Ten lead again and very much trending toward another Big Ten title this year, which would be its third in a row, even if it's a share. But Purdue had to have this one, and it got it with relative ease. USC did not have leading scorer Desmond Claude, but it did have a fellow named Wesley Yates score 30. So he very much filled in for his idle teammate who has a bone bruise. Claude and Terrence Williams are the two guys on USC who had played in Mackey Arena before. Both of them missed this game. Not that they probably would have made a difference, but the interesting thing to me about these West Coast schools, who, by the way, should not be in the Big Ten in basketball, as I think I've mentioned once or twice before. The thing about these West Coast schools is these programs, and I can't say players anymore because they're different players every year on these teams, but these programs are used to playing in front of – they're used to playing at Washington State. They're used to playing at Stanford. All due respect to Washington State and Stanford. But when you go to Purdue, Maryland, Indiana when they're not booing their coach, Illinois – when Illinois is good, Wisconsin, when Wisconsin's good, places like this, it is a whole different deal. If there's anything the trip to Washington, Oregon underscored, was that these are not basketball culture places. the traditional Big Ten footprint is. And I would say Maryland and Rutgers and Nebraska fit into that much more than these West Coast schools even do, because their communities, Maryland comes from ACC roots, and that's very much aligned with Big Ten. Rutgers and Nebraska, their communities really embrace those programs, and they fit way better than some of these Western schools. And you just sort of wondered what USC was going to be thinking when they walk in and they see 8,000 students from floor to ceiling. And they're getting booed and they're getting yelled at and they're getting taunted. And, you know, people are cheering when they miss free throws like they just won, you know, the national championship because they get free food from someplace. I don't know if that affected USC or not. I think this was more about Purdue just being way better. And I think this was about Trey Kaufman-Wren, you know, being an absolute force as part of what's really becoming an All-America level season for Purdue. You know, we kind of had a pretty good idea. Purdue was probably going to have an All-American this year in Braden Smith. They should have two All-Americans because Trey Kaufman-Wren is right there too. And I would say nobody saw that coming, but this guy right here did. So pat on the back for me. But no, Trey Kaufman-Wren was an absolute force in this game. 24 points, played like a guy who knew that the guys guarding him couldn't. Drew 11 fouls, embraced contact, rebounded angry on the offensive boards. 24-10 in this game. Really doing a good job as a passer. Did not turn the ball over. Made his free throws. Just a great game for Trey Kaufman-Wren. Again, he's becoming, I shouldn't say he's becoming, it's not an active verb anymore. It is a realized process that this guy is a great player now. And he's one of two great players on this Purdue team. Braden Smith, again, played one of those games where he's just like, hey, you know what? I think tonight I'm going to try to have twice as many assists as points, and I'm going to try to get more steals than I have points. He had 9 points, 13 assists, and 5 steals. And, you know, just dominates games. And, you know, Purdue had the two best players on the floor by a mile. USC, you know, the one little fear factor thing in this game in my mind was that Eric Musselman is a good coach. He's a little bit nuts, and he's bound to do anything at any time. Shirt removal included, but there's always has to be that unknown with Musselman where he might have just completely changed his system, like on the bus ride down from Chicago. So you didn't know what sort of crazy stuff you were going to see from USC, but it really wasn't much of anything. They played a 2-3 zone much of the game. They played man the rest of the game. Didn't really get too crazy with their backcourt pressure, but Purdue handled whatever they did. And the one blemish on this game for Purdue, to be honest with you, is things came so easy offensively. It felt like to me that Purdue got comfortable just kind of trading baskets. And that's a continuation of a little bit of a trend that started at Iowa, who doesn't guard anyone. So baskets came easily at Iowa. Baskets came easy against USC. And what has put Purdue in a position to win the Big Ten here again and has made them so good since Big Ten play resumed has been its defense. And Purdue has to stay dialed in on what got it here. It is a great offensive team, yes. But it is also a great offensive team in part because they force so many turnovers and score off that turnover. So that, by extension, is defense. So Purdue can't slip into these spells where it's just about trading baskets. It's not about playing the scoreboard, you know, stuff like that. That's the one negative thing I can kind of say about this game. Otherwise, Trey Kaufman-Wren, All-American. Braden Smith, All-American. Purdue wins by 18. Could just as soon have won this game by 30. I don't really know there's much difference there. Fletcher Lawyer played well. Caleb First played great. Double-double, basically, for him. He continues to just be an absolute difference maker for Purdue. The freshman guards played well, I thought. Pretty much everybody contributed. a lot of minutes for a lot of guys, a lot of shots for a lot of guys. So that's what I got. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to say about this. This was a game Purdue should have won handily and did. And I don't know if there's anything necessarily all that revelatory about it. So that's what I got. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. And if you listen to this on your favorite podcast platform as opposed to your least favorite podcast platform and you have an opportunity to leave a 5-star review, we would appreciate that very much. We hope this is coming through on Apple Podcasts now. We had to migrate things from our previous host to a new host, and the machinations of the getting on Apple process have gone slower than we hoped. And we apologize for the delay if you missed the Indiana and Iowa podcasts. Hopefully you're getting this one. But thank you once again to our friends at the East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'm approaching right now. Hopefully there are no medium-sized to large hooved mammals in the road. So I'll let you in our next podcast how it went. So thanks, everybody.